Hey, everybody, it's Kai with another episode of the Corner Office Podcast for you. These are full or the extended interviews with CEOs running the companies that you know and love. Thanks for downloading or streaming, and I hope you've subscribed as well, because that helps in the whole podcast ranking thing. Today, we're going back into the archives to an interview I did back in October of 2015 with Donna Karan. She of the eponymous fashion line Donna Karan started her career working for Anne Klein, then later, of course, built her own empire of fashion. When I talked to her, she just stepped down from her role as the chief designer for Donna Karan International some months before, and she had released a memoir about her career and her life. It was called My Journey.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Donna Karan, good to have you with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I want to start, at the end of this book and the end of your time at Donna Karan International. What's it like to step down from this thing that you built?
Oh, you should start with a nice, easy question like that. I'm in the process. Yeah. You know, it's not exactly like, do I know what it's like? Because I'm really not sure. But I know that I have to concentrate on my work at Urban Zen.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. You know, it was very difficult juggling three children, Donna Karan, DKNY, and Urban Zen. And Urban Zen, being my youngest child, needed a little bit more of my time and energy.
So let me ask maybe a different question then. How did you decide it was time? Were you just too busy?
Yes. It was, I had started Urban Zen and it was taking off and other people wanted it and I just needed to spend more time on it. And I realized that time was ticking.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do a lot more traveling. I'd gotten very involved in Haiti and the work that I do there. And I wanted to be able to travel a little bit more and work with artisans throughout the world.
We should say that Urban Zen is your project for social good, I guess one might characterize it as, right?
Well, I think it's where I could really dress and address people. It's about a community of consciousness and change, both through the apparel that I do and the home furnishings and the accessories and all that I work in developing worlds. And its mission is to... In the philanthropic part is healthcare, education, and culture. As a matter of fact, we're affiliated with UCLA, and our Urban Zen Integrative Therapist Program is there right now, doing absolutely phenomenal.
So now that we've taken you to the end, let's go back to the beginning. If you wanted to get into fashion today and have the kind of impact that you did back in the 70s and 80s, could you? Do you think it would work?
I think it's very difficult.
Yeah.
I think we're at a difficult time right now in fashion. The globalness of it, to be supported on that kind of level, to be a global fashion network, there's an enormous amount of fashion out there right now. And I think sometimes a little too much. What I would highly recommend to young people who want to get into fashion, to work for somebody else, to really get their hands and really understand what it's about and to realize what the customer needs. I think sometimes a lot of fashion designers aren't talking to the customer. They're talking to the press. And the customer is saying, you know, well, what about me?
Well, yeah. So, but there, that's the question, right? Because so much of fashion is, and I say this not pejoratively, but it's you all putting on these shows telling consumers what the fashion is.
Well, I think the customer's gotten a lot smarter right now and realizing what she wants as opposed to necessarily what the designer wants. And I think there's an equal balance between design, putting out, you know, fashion, and trying to please the press and please the consumer at the same time. And that's really what makes a great fashion designer, somebody who really understands the consumer and the press at the same time.
When you came out with Seven Easy Pieces in 1985 and broke some ground in fashion and how women are dressed in the professional environment, did you know when you launched it that it was going to be the success it was, or were you a little...
Not at all.
Yeah.
I was actually doing it for myself and my friends, realizing again what was out there in fashion. There were a lot of clothes for working women that were geared towards a very masculine point of view. Or there were clothes that were so feminine that it was more of an evening cocktail kind of dressing, but there was no real working women's clothes, what women wear to work, you know, that can go from day into evening. And that's what I found for myself. And when I put together the Seven Easy Pieces, I found, you know, that I had more customers than I had thought I would have.
So this is going to sound like a suck-up kind of question, but it's really not. And I kind of have to ask it, what's it like to be an icon, right? Because you say DKNY, you say Donna Karen, and you're it. What's that like?
You know, it's so funny because I live as the person Donna Karen, yeah. And I appreciate and understand Donna Karen and DKNY, but then there's the person. And that person is always what's new, what's new, what's new, what's new. And I think there's a responsibility that I have as a name that the customer expects a certain amount from me that she would be very disappointed if I let her go.
Well, okay, so it's funny you brought up the whole what's new, what's new, what's new thing, because I was reading the introduction to this book by your friend Barbara Streisand, and she said, I'm just going to read it, and this is your friend talking about you. She says, Donna Karen is the most scattered, disorganized human being you'll ever meet. Her attention is fleeting, and she is always changing her mind. How do you run a business? The scale of Donna
Karen.
But wait
a second. Read the next sentence.
All right. Oh, change your mind. She can't remember anything, including plans you've just made with her. Chaos is her middle name. So I'm constantly astonished, blah, blah, blah. But then she goes on, and obviously she says very nice things about you.
Exactly. I just want to make sure that the nice things get said as well, yes. As, well as the chaos. I think
absolutely.
That's the humor of Barbara. I would tend to agree with her. I said, when I'm off, I'm off. And when I'm on, I'm on. And when I'm working, I'm as sharp as a nail, an attack. But when I'm off, my God, I want that freedom.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the part that Barbara knows, of course, about me because we're such good friends.
You made the decision a number of years ago to sell Donna Karen International to LVMH. Why did you do that?
Well, my partners who had started Donna Karen originally decided they wanted to go public. And quite honestly, that was a very, very difficult move. We were a young, budding company. Everything had started, Donna Karen, DKNY, the fragrance, and we were growing, growing, and growing. And my partners truly wanted to become a public company, and it was too early for us to be public. Hmm. And the only other way, and then some companies came around and said, you know, we really want to buy your company. And unfortunately, at that time, my husband was dying of cancer. And I said, you can't leave me in this situation. So we made a deal with LVMH.
Any regrets about that?
No. I think it was the right thing at the right time.
Just because I've always wondered why designers do this, what was it about getting into a fragrance that appealed to you? Because everybody and their grandma has a fragrance.
Well, I have to tell you, it wasn't my decision. It was my husband's. He said, hemlines go up and down. Fashion goes in and out, but a fragrance lasts forever. And I think if notably that a fragrance does symbolize something that it's not about a season, it's something that is emotional. It's of your senses. It captures a sensitivity to a woman and to a man. That is something that has longevity. And I think that's shown in the fragrance that we did from the original. It's still one of the top 10 fragrances today.
When you look the better question is this. When you have a piece of clothing out there, do you want somebody to be able to look at it and say, that's a Donna Karen?
No.
Really?
I want to say, God, she looks great.
Huh.
I want the woman to feel great about it. You know, that she knows what she's wearing. But I don't want her to say, oh, my God, you must be wearing Donna Karen. I'd rather say, oh, my God, she looks fantastic. Hmm. When a man wears a suit that I've done, he feels so comfortable. You know, yeah. You can't say, oh, my God, that's a Donna Karen suit.
Yeah.
But the man feels good about himself.
Are you ever going to stop designing?
Probably not. I think I was born into fashion, as I said in the book, and I can't imagine not doing any of it. I think there's ways of doing fashion that feel a little bit more comfortable to me today than they did then.
Like what? What does that mean?
Well, I think doing Urban Zen is a little bit more controlled. It's not so kind of out there throughout the rest of the world. It's a baby company. I like startups, beginning from the beginning.
Yeah.
And realizing what, you know, how can I do it differently?
Yeah. Is there one thing, just to get a fashion tip from Donna Karen since I've got her on the phone, is there one thing that everybody ought to have in their wardrobe? Pick
absolutely.
One for women. Pick one for women and one for men.
I believe a scarf is the most important thing that you have to own. It covers up what you want to cover, and it shows what you want to show, and it's sort of like a cuddle that you could use forever. So I love scarves.
All right, so what about for men? Or does that apply for men too?
For a man, I think a great sweater.
Oh,
or a great jacket.
Yeah, I'll go with the jacket, I think.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Donna Karan, her book is called My Journey. Donna, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, that's it for today's episode of Corner Office. Love it when we go back to the archives. Hope you liked it, too. If you decide you do, rate us on iTunes. Leave a review if you like. Please be kind. Subscribe, too, if you like that. This episode was produced by Daisy Palacios and Bridget Bodner. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Star Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. We will see you with a new episode in a couple of weeks. We'll be right back.